From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Hi, I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network. Is that what we say? What do we say?
I think so. You screwed yourself up.
I think I did.
And hi, I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com on the USC 24/7 Sports Football Network. I screwed that up too. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. Dave's a little loopy.
I'm tired.
I'm very tired. I just finished a show. I shouldn't be that tired.
I got a new bed.
Ooh, is that
good? It's like a firmer mattress.
Is that good or
bad? Because I'm getting to like old age, right? So I want a firmer mattress.
You are.
And I don't know. Like, I slept okay, I thought, but now I'm like, you know, maybe I just slept too well and I'm like just kind of foggy from it.
Maybe. I slept pretty good. Got up, did my workout, but I just finished like an hour and a half live show, rolling right into this one. That always kind of messes you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Haven't got up from this seat. I did crack a Coke Zero Cherry.
Jesus.
So we're working with that. But yeah, we got to talk a lot about Big Ten football. You know what's happening this week, David?
No.
It's week six.
Oh!
You know, we got a rematch of the national championship game from last year. So we got to do all our previews. We're going to preview all the games. If you have questions or comments, we got to get to those. We have a bunch already. But BigTenCast@gmail.com. That's where you email us if you'd like to send us a question. You can also call or text us at 424-532-0678. We have another call from the Zodiac Killer. Can you believe that? So it's great. Another long voicemail. You can tweet us at B1G Podcast. And if you have Apple or Spotify, that's how you listen to your podcast. We're, of course, live on our YouTube channel. But if you're listening, Apple, Spotify, 5-star rating. Do it. Just go leave us a 5-star rating for the Podcast of Champions. We will thank you very much. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app, not just leaving us a 5-star rating, but a review. The best review each show, we're going to give you a Trader Joe's gift card for 17 smackaronis in honor of UCLA going on the road and putting up 17 big points, points against the LSU Tigers.
Point of order before we get too far into that. Should we only read reviews on the recap show so that we give people time to accumulate them?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So we'll do that on our Monday shows.
I won't remember that. So just you have to remind me next time.
I'm going to remind Ryan.
You probably won't remember.
I'm not going to remember, but maybe us saying it out loud for all of you, you will remember. And if we start to do it on our Thursday show next week or our Wednesday show, whatever day we happen to do it, you might tell us, hey, you guys are imbeciles. Not now.
Next week for the preview show, we are definitely going to do this. And I have the comments and stuff going up in the chat. So if you have a question or comment, if it's a question, put like question so I know and I'll star it and come back to it later. Sean says Rutgers is undefeated.
That's right, baby.
Dave says woof, woof, woof. Yet another Duck fan says quack, along with Eric. They're both quacking. So we got some people sounding off in the chat. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think, previewing these games. Of course, the big one being Washington hosting Michigan for a recap of the championship game. I don't know, last week, if you guys remember, I told you about our friends over at MyBookie, and I said, if you follow along with my picks and you do your MyBookie deposit, it's probably going to do well. Well, you would have done very well. Now, yes, if you listen to David, you'd just be about breaking even. If you listen to me, 7-1 last week, unbelievable. Make sure you get over to MyBookie. If you want to use our promo code, it's POC for your initial deposit. They will double it. So 100% match of whatever you put in there. You put $100 in, you'll have two. Then you follow my picks. Man, you could turn it into a crap ton of money. Hopefully this week my picks are going to be good. Haven't even thought about them yet, but I will do them. I'm on a roll, absolutely destroying David. So get over to my bookie, follow whoever you want. Maybe pick against David. I don't know. What do you want to do? But if you go with me, you're probably going to be okay. 7-1, like I said, crushing it. But if you use the promo code POC, that really crushes it because you will double your initial deposit. No picks needed. You just double your money.
Is this a promo for my bookie or a promo for Ryan?
It's a little both.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fine.
It's
fine.
A little both. Yeah.
Right. I respect
it. Use
that
promo code POC. Get in there. Follow my picks, whatever you want to do. Remember, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at my bookie.
That's right, baby.
Yeah. Let's see. Dustin.
Did you go in and crazily change this POC shared doc font size to 11.5 at some point?
No. There's something that I don't.
No, it's at 11.5. Is that the default on Google Docs?
I don't know. I like it to all be the same. I don't care what the number is. But I don't like if there's like a paragraph that's one size. OCD stuff.
Yeah.
I want it to be the same. I don't care what the number
is. So deep into our relationship now here doing this podcast, yes. I'm coming more and more to the conclusion that Ryan is deeply OCD, but has figured out masking techniques and and compensation techniques for many, many years.
Maybe.
Because the font is set to 11.5.
Okay. I wouldn't do that, but I just want it to be the
same. That feels like you did do that.
No, I could give a crap about what the number is. Mm-hmm. I just want it to be the same, though. That mm-hmm. would bother me if they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the number is.
The way I have to input these picks, I have to unbold certain parts but bold other parts. And if I do it like even slightly different, if the formatting is even slightly different from what he expects, it's not good.
Yeah.
I get abused.
Dustin, he says, Ryan is a MyBookie god. Dave uses advanced stats to go 500.
That's right, baby.
It was funny. Yeah, there was a bad beat in there. We covered the Wisconsin game, but that was a bad beat, according to SVP, because it was, you know, when you're getting 15 and a half points and you're up 11 and a half, it's kind of a bad beat when that happens. But we'll take the cover. We like it. We knew it all along. Okay, what else do we got going on? Oh, there's been a little bit of, like, breaking news. So there's going to be a meeting. Do you know which conference we cover, Mr. Woods?
Pac-12?
No, not anymore. No. We used to.
The Big 12.
No. Shit. Different one. Yeah.
I was told there wouldn't be any questions.
Yeah. You're getting close.
Big.
It's very big. It's eight. There's a number that doesn't match the actual number of teams.
Nine.
Yeah. No. Double. If you double that.
The Big Eight.
Double that plus two, we have 18 teams to cover.
The Big Ten, baby.
Yeah. And they're going to meet with the SEC.
Mm.
A lot of stuff could be on the table.
Are they gonna discuss further ruining the sport?
Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, they are, baby.
Some more ruining of the sport. But the good thing, yes, would it be bad where they sort of like say each of the Big Ten and the SEC get four teams in the playoff each? It could be something like that. It could be something bad. But there also is the interesting aspect that there could be a scheduling alliance. We don't want to say the word alliance for Pac-12 fans because that didn't go so well.
We remember the alliance.
Yeah, the short-lived alliance, handshake agreement, all that. But it would be interesting to see
the last alliance of elves and men.
The Big Ten and the SEC sort of have the scheduling agreement. Right now, the SEC still only plays 8 conference games. I think that has to change for the Big Ten. I don't know. You in favor of this? I think it'd be cool to have like an SEC team on the schedule. I don't know how it would work with you have 18 Big Ten teams and 16 SEC teams, but
I think there's problems with it. I think from a equality standpoint, I understand why the SEC and the Big Ten want built-in guarantees for the playoff if they're going to agree to a scheduling deal like this, because the SEC still only will play 8 conference games. I don't think there's any discussion about moving to 9. And so if they don't move to 9 and the Big Ten continues to play 9, and then the Big Ten is also adding a built-in SEC deal maybe every year for certain teams or maybe all teams, who knows?
Yeah.
If you do all that, the SEC is still going to be able to have their patsies and the Big Ten is going to have one less spot for a patsy that the SEC does. So there's a disadvantage from a playoff standpoint. It's all stupid. We shouldn't be in this place where there are 4 guaranteed spots for either league. But
I don't think
we
need it.
In the way this is going, I mean, it's just going to be those two teams, you know, an AFC and an NFC competing for a Super College Bowl every year, which is going to be terrible. But, you know, it's what we're dealing with.
Did you see Kyle said in the chat, Brett McMurphy versus Nicole Auerbach, Brett -3.5. There was a little Twitter beef going on. So a lot of the breaking news around the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, and both of them are only at 7, I believe 7 full-time members. You need to be at 8. And McMurphy, I think, was the first one. I forget what was the... Oh, the Gonzaga was going to be...
Yeah, the Gonzaga was coming into the Pac-12 as a basketball-only member. Brett tweeted that out on, I believe it was September 23rd. And then immediately a lot of other people checked with their sources, most likely in the league office for the Pac-12 and at the top level of Gonzaga. And they refuted it publicly because it hadn't yet been finalized. Where I think the problem is Brett is first very good at his job and not always, but is almost always right, like almost always correct. Yeah. And then you've got a lot of people who consider their main role in journalism to be stenography and who just repeat what people say to them with no no ability to be critical about it. And so responding to Brett with, well, Gonzaga refutes this report. However, you know, this you can't rule out the possibility that this is going to happen. Maybe you don't get dunked on as hard by Brett when it turns out that it's actually happening. But I'd be like really careful to dunk on guys like McMurphy and Feldman when they're reporting things that are news, because they're very, very, very rarely wrong. So if they're reporting it, they have to have a reason to report it. So if you're getting public refutation of that, report it as that. Say, hey, Gonzaga says X, or source in the league office says X. However, you know, this isn't something that you can just take to the bank or whatever it is. But obviously, I mean, how long has Brett been doing this where he's just, you know, way out in front on some story and has the scoop way before anyone else? And a lot of times it's on conference realignment stuff and all this crap. So I don't know. I think a lot of people maybe have a personal beef with him of some sort, and they decided to let that fly in their tweets, but not a good idea.
It got very personal
between Nicole and Brett on Twitter, and I don't know the dynamics there. I just know Brett's usually right, so I wouldn't be a dick to him.
Yeah, and I so, like,
because he can also be a dick too, so don't be a dick.
I think she had brought up something about it might have been like with Chip, there was some firing or something that maybe hadn't happened yet or whatever, and it almost seems like semantics, like what was going on. But I think he's dialed into what's
it was the Mel Tucker. It was Mel Tucker. Oh. He had it as he's fired, and then it was a month later, and it's the same deal. Yes, the university has not announced the firing because they have legal hoops to jump through. He's fired. Yeah. He's going to be gone. It's just a matter of like when the like final stroke of the pen happens. So I don't know if it's like a problem with the semantics of how Brett reports things, where it's like authoritative and, you know, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, the way it reads to me is a lot of professional jealousy.
It kind of does too. You know, like, I'm like, okay, you know, he wasn't wrong. Like one of the USC sites that's not mine reported that like Clancy Pendergast was fired. And that ended up being like wrong. Like he ended up not being fired. Like there was discussion of it, and there was probably a likelihood he was fired. He wasn't. They did the same thing with Clay Helton, and Clay Helton wasn't fired. Like it was literally reported that he was fired. I think it was from the SI site. And then you had like Pat Forty, who also works for SI, is like, I'm not hearing this. It's like, so SI was reporting he was fired and reporting he wasn't. Like when you're just wrong, if you're like trying to, I think that's where you're just trying to be ahead. It looks like it's trending that way. Where it seems like what McMurphy's doing is like, it's happening. It's 1,000% happening, but it hasn't been like official or whatever yet. So I would never complain about that. Like, okay, he knows it's happening, but it's not like really, really true yet. You know, that kind of thing. It just seemed like, I don't know why you're beefing about that. I don't know why we're going on about this, but.
No, I saw the same thing though.
West Texas Mike says it's sexual tension. It's usually sexual tension. I don't know. I've not met either. I've known a lot of the national people. I've not met either Nicole or Brett. So
I haven't met Nicole. I've met Brett.
Oh, I've seen him. He's not a tall guy.
No, short man.
Short man. No, but he's good at his job.
Yeah.
All right. So we need to get
good mustache.
He does have a good mustache. Yeah. As a beard aficionado, you know a good mustache, and he's got that. Okay. So we're gonna go. In order of the time for these games, correct?
Yeah, that's right, baby.
And so previewing all the games, Do we have anything else that we need to discuss before?
I don't think so. I think we are all set. I think we are fired up and we are ready to go.
Okay, you're going to do better on your picks. I
doubt it very much.
Oh, hold on. We have a... Yeah, why do you stink so bad?
I don't know. A lot of things.
It's fun to beat you, but whatever. I don't want to beat you too bad because I'm going to feel bad. This is from Ryan, Super Chat. Ryan, ever think about changing your first name to match that of USC's coach with your last name? Could be fun. Thanks, guys. Love the podcast. Fight on. Okay, so my first name is Ryan.
Yes. Have you put it together yet in your head?
So USC's head coach... It's not Clay Helton. Okay, so Lincoln Riley. So I'd be Lincoln Abraham. Yeah, that's...
I like it.
I like the ring.
It's got a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
Never been done before. Not in that combination, that's for sure.
I'm sure there's a Lincoln Abraham somewhere. No?
I'm sure.
Maybe not.
I'm sure.
There's other Ryan Abrahams. Like, I've had that. I've seen them.
I've seen a couple of other David Woodses.
There's got to be a lot of David Woodses.
There's another David Woods in journalism who people tag me as frequently.
Really?
He writes for or wrote for the Indianapolis Star.
Yeah.
Covered Butler.
We have some chat going on between Husky fans and Michigan fans, I think. Or people that are like saying Michigan's going to beat the Huskies.
Oregon will often act as proxies for whoever Washington's opponent is.
Yes. So maybe there's some proxying going on there. But thank you for the super chat. That's really sweet of you. Yeah, David controls that. I never see any of that money. Whatever. That's fine. You know, it's just...
You will. You will. I just need to do I need to do some math with it, and that always takes me some time.
Yeah, math, not super strong suit. Okay, we got another pretty good game on Friday. Probably won't be a good game, but probably maybe a pretty good game. On Friday, we have the...
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
Going to
Oregon Ducks.
Friday night, 6 p.m. on Big Fox. Jonathan Smith returning to his, not quite his old stomping grounds, but you know, adjacent. Traveling to number 6, Oregon. Oregon's a 24-point favorite. So I watched Oregon very closely last week, and as I described to you, I'm treating UCLA like a perfect mirror, and what I saw in Oregon was a good team, but I'm not sure they're a great team. Mm. Short passing, not taking as many shots. I'm given to understand they were experimenting with some stuff because they didn't treat UCLA as like a real credible opponent, which, gosh, why would you do that? But maybe that played a role too. Michigan State has Aiden Chiles, who's a human turnover machine.
You got crushed by this last week.
So I've got warring thoughts about this one. 24 is a lot. It's a lot of points. Michigan State's defense is credible. It's not incredible, but it's credible. Mm. But Aiden Chiles is a walking turnover machine. You've also got the Jonathan Smith factor here. Mm. On one hand, he's very familiar with Oregon, probably has a good idea of, you know, maybe chinks in the armor there. But on the other hand, Dan Lanning might still want to crush the life out of Jonathan Smith for various offenses over the years. I'm going to take Oregon, minus 24. I watched Aiden Chiles throw that one interception last week, and I can't pick Michigan State until I've wiped that from my brain. So give me the Ducks.
Real quick, Lee in the chat. The world is ran on Eastern Time, guys.
You want to say the world is run on Eastern Standard Time, guys?
We would have changed it, but since you're
come on,
grammatical
Les.
Issues.
Come on, Les.
No. It's all about the West Coast time. The center of the Big Ten universe is
Would you say less is more?
Less is more. Okay. Los Angeles, baby.
That's right, baby.
Okay, this one, I'm going to actually agree with you here. Michigan State, like, when have they ever gone? There's probably no one on the team that's even been to the state of Oregon before, right? Like, I don't think, I'm sure the head coach has never been to Oregon.
Certainly not.
Yeah, like, why would he ever have
I don't think he spent more than a minute there, certainly not as a young man and definitely not as an adult in a professional capacity.
Yes. No, of course, Jonathan Smith played at Oregon State. Here's – transitive property is 100% right in college sports all the time, right? What I'm going to use as the parallel, because Michigan State failed to cover, or that helped me. Oregon failed to cover, helped me. Now, which way I go? They both burned you last week, so you have to kind of pick one. This is what I'm going with.
Oregon burned me less. Like, their fault was simply Dylan Gabriel point shaving.
They outgained UCLA by like 1,000 and did not cover the spread. This is a slightly smaller spread. Michigan State can make some, you know, probably more dynamic plays than UCLA can, but they've made some really, really bad ones too. The comp I'm going to use is, we were both wrong about the Oregon State game. Like, that's the one game that Oregon looked like super competent and just played well, covered the spread and moved on. I feel like they can do the same thing here because of the remnants of Oregon State that's all over this Michigan State program. So I'm going to use that as the comp, and I'm going to take Oregon to cover.
Yeah.
Do you think that's sound logic?
I think it's totally sound logic. Oregon 100%ed UCLA last year in the post-game win expectancy. They should have won by about 30. They instead won by 21.
Yeah, which was the difference in the covering. So, yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Next one we have, this should be a really good one.
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
I like the groan at the end. The groan at the end, I think we need to accentuate that. Shane, can you get into that and just bring that up like three notches the on groan? The volume? Yeah, the little at the end.
All right, they're going on the road to take on
Penn State Nittany Lions.
All right. All right. So it's obviously going to be a bloodbath. This one is taking place at 9 a.m. on Saturday on Big Fox. For some reason, they keep putting UCLA on national television.
Because they were right in it last week.
Big noon kickoff. UCLA traveling to number 7 Penn State. Penn State is a 4-touchdown favorite, 28 points. I'm going to start with give me Penn State. and then I will say Penn State, probably the best team UCLA's played this year so far. Indiana, maybe, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready to believe as a Hoosiers fan, as a longtime Hoosiers fan. I'm not ready to fully believe that they're ready to be, you know, top two or three in the Big Ten. So Penn State, probably the best. Most balanced on both sides of the ball. Best offense, best defense combination. Let me pull up some of my stats, because I think they're fifth nationally in offensive success rate. They're much more explosive through the air than they were last year, much more explosive generally than they were last year. Nick Singleton is playing better football than he was last year. He's averaging almost 8 yards per carry. Drew Aller has really unlocked some things in the passing game, even without having like a true ideal number one outside receiver target. Tyler Warren's been excellent at tight end. And the receivers, there just hasn't been like a true number one, but like a general pretty good among like the top two or three. And then defensively, they're a monster. They're 18th in sack rate. And what have you seen out of UCLA's offensive line this year? Is it good? Is it existing? Is it do you see it?
I mean, it's borderline existing, right?
No. More theory than actual fact. Not proven. And UCLA's offensive line may be down their starting left tackle. They may be starting a walk-on at left tackle this game because he's the one who finished out the game last week. A former walk-on, I should say. He got a scholarship last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for UCLA to win this game would probably require a meteor hitting the Penn State sideline, but very locally. Like just the sideline. And I don't know that that's likely for Saturday. I would say it's probably unlikely that a meteor will strike. So given that there will be no meteor strike, I've got to take Penn State to cover.
Yeah, I'm going to go with I'm going to follow you on that one. Destiny in the chat brought this up for the last game. He said, Dave, 24 points in the Big Ten is insane. And it is. And we both are laying that in the Oregon game, and we're both going to lay the 28 in the UCLA game.
Oh, I was hoping you would take UCLA, because I need to share another stat that I didn't share because I was hoping you would pick the other way. UCLA has lost its last three games by blowout margins, right?
Yeah.
Each of them should have been worse. Like, they were each, from a post-game win expectancy, the closest one was the LSU game, where UCLA had a 0.4 chance 0.4% chance based on the underlying stats to win that game.
Wow.
They should have lost that by 21.2. They lost by 17. They should have lost to Indiana by 34.7. They lost by 29. And they should have lost to Oregon by 29.4, but lost by 21. So on one hand, Deshaun Foster choosing to surrender punt at the end of games is probably dampening some of the point totals for opposing teams. However, UCLA is probably going into this game without Ethan Garbers and Justin Martin. Yes, people clamor for the backup quarterback. There's a reason he's the backup, and we're all going to see why on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think I've been pretty good at picking UCLA. Like, but your assessment has usually been on. Like, Oregon completely outplayed them. I just felt like they could have a little bit of fight and cover the 25.
They had none, but they still covered because of reasons.
Yeah. We did get the LSU game wrong. We thought they wouldn't cover that one. That was the one that sort of like set it back. But for the Indiana game, what was that?
I think it was like 2 or 3 in favor of Indiana, and they covered by, yeah, they covered by 26.
Yeah, we both took Indiana and like just covered that one a lot. I mean, the same thing here. It's a lot of points. But the way I think, here's the thing, like as far as travel goes, I think the Penn State game's like one of the easier East Coast travels, right? Like big airport, like you don't have to
super bus easy to get in there.
3 hours, like like literally a plane, from what I've been told, a plane from Los Angeles cannot land at State College because it's too big. The amount of fuel you would need, the plane would be too big to land there. So there's no way to get there directly. This is one of those things that's just going to be probably nightmare travel. Maybe you don't have your left tackle. Maybe you don't have your quarterback. Penn State just comes out and sort of like, now they played with their food a little bit last week, but it was, you know, Illinois team. This is not a feisty team.
This is the game that I've had penciled since the preseason as the one most likely to be UCLA's 2008 BYU game. Look that one up. Looked that one up.
Was it bad?
And they lost 59-0. Like two games into the Rick Neuheisel era, you knew everything you needed to know.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, we're laying massive amount of points in Big Ten games. I'm sorry, your conference is different now. We're here. It's just a little bit different. Okay. Yeah,
that's right, baby.
Maybe we'll be wrong. All right. Next up, we've got
Purdue Boilermakers.
They're on the road taking on
Wisconsin Badgers.
9 a.m. on the Big Ten Network, Purdue traveling to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a 14-point favorite at home. So Wisconsin's quarterback looked okay for, I would say, the first half against USC.
Yeah.
And then really struggled in the second half.
He threw a really nice bomb. Like, that was a really good play. But
I would say overall, Wisconsin kind of tanked the second half, kind of turtled, and Luke Fickell coached like a dumbass. Purdue last week kind of lost in the final score to Nebraska. They were in a scoreless tie at halftime. I won't say their defense was playing great, but it was playing competent football. Here's the thing. I think Wisconsin's a close game playing team. I think they play close games. I think they've played some close games against teams that are probably worse than Purdue. So give me 14. I'm going to take Purdue.
Ooh.
Hudson Card maybe gets free for a couple of long runs. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I just don't see Wisconsin scoring much more than 20. And can I see Purdue scoring 10? Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Give me Purdue.
Wow. I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I think we have a Wisconsin fan in the chat. Matthew says, if we lose to Purdue, launch everyone into outer space. Yeah. Purdue is bad. Like, they're flirting with the UCLA 18 spot bad. Wisconsin had an 11-point lead at halftime at USC. Like, they're going to blow out Purdue.
So you know how you get upset when teams don't cover the spread? I get upset when pianos fall on head coach heads.
Yes.
And a piano fell on Luke Fickell's head with about 7 minutes to go in this game when he punted it away against USC.
Yes.
When he needed more points than he was likely to have possessions left. So I can't conscionably pick Luke Fickell to cover a 14-point spread.
I think Camp Randall.
I need to see like visibly the piano being removed from his skull before I can pick him again.
We can't recommend people working. Yet another Duck fan is upset because he missed the Oregon talk because that was the Friday game.
Losers.
He said he was working.
It's almost like you guys have real jobs and we talk about sports for a living.
It's the middle of the day. You shouldn't be working. You should be watching the podcast of champions and paying full attention. So no sympathy for you, yet another Duck fan. Yeah, just go back and listen to it or watch it. Spoiler, we both picked Oregon to cover against Michigan State. So we expect the Oregon effort against the Oregon State to translate to Michigan State, since there's so much Oregon State juice in the Michigan State program. That's the gist of what we were saying. Okay, probably the most intriguing matchup of the weekend.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Did you pick the game?
I took Wisconsin. I went against you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Remember I was telling you they're going to get – it's going to be murder stump.
Sure.
Okay. That's the most fire – like that – if I want to get fired up of any of these drops, I think it's the Iowa one.
Iowa Hawkeyes. Yeah, no,
like, very good.
It just – yeah. It's a very good one. I love that. And then they're going to be on the road taking on – it's not that well-known team.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
12:30 p.m. on CBS, Iowa traveling to number 3, Ohio State. Ohio State is a 20.5-point favorite. So,
look at all these spreads.
I know. This is a huge spread again. So Iowa, having watched them now and subjected myself to Iowa football in a way that I have never done in years previously, I always had this idea that the defenses were just kind of like a product of, you know, bad Big Ten offensive play. And then I watch it, and yes, there is some of that. No doubt, no question about it. But then I see, like, no receivers getting separation from these Iowa corners who are thought of as, like, not the strength of the team this year, and they're still, like, not easily getting separation. The way they play up front, they play really damn good defense. They also have a really damn good running back. Ohio State's defense has been, I would say, a little bit leakier than I was expecting this year. The big question here is Cade McNamara going to throw like 9 interceptions? And I think he's been avoiding it for the most part this year.
Yeah.
But the 9 interception game, as anybody who's played CFB 25, is always lurking. It's always there. It's always, the potential is always there.
It seems like a lot.
Ohio State, offensively, they're going to have issues scoring against Iowa. Are they going to be pronounced enough? I don't know.
Would it help if I tell you who I'm picking?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to know who you're picking.
Okay.
I'm going to take Iowa.
Woo! All right.
I don't think I've picked an Ohio State spread correctly this year, or maybe one. I think I picked the second game of the year correctly, because I said I'm going to stop hating on Chip Kelly, but then I went right back to hating on Chip Kelly.
You did?
Yeah.
And you're doing it again.
Yeah, I'm just going to hate on Chip Kelly. Screw it. It feels spiritually correct, even if it isn't correct in real life. Iowa, baby. Go Hawkeyes.
Okay. The first 4 games are all at least 2 score. 14 is the closest spread that we're picking. And I'm laying the points in all of them. I'm going to keep that trend going. Probably a bad idea, but I'm going to go with Ohio State in this one.
Can I tell you the post-game win expectancy of Ohio State, Michigan State?
What?
It was only 98.4, and Ohio State should have won that by about 17 points. So, again, spiritually, I should have covered.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, this is back at home. Caleb Johnson is awesome, right? One of the best running backs around. But, man, I just feel like this is such a talented team. They're not going to let him run all over you like Minnesota did, things like that. I don't know if you got to see Jeremiah Smith play as a freshman, like freaking ridiculous. The Ryan Williams play, the end of the Alabama game, the 17-year-old freshman for Alabama, like this, the body control, the spin moves. I think Jeremiah Smith even better than him. I think this is just one of those things where grit and running and defense gets completely outclassed by shit tons of talent. And I think this is the first chance that Ohio State is getting to make a statement. And I think they're going to make a loud statement.
I think they're going to make a loud statement. It's going to be a wet fart noise.
Maybe. But I feel like I like Iowa's offense a little bit better than from years past, but this just seems like a mismatch to me. If it was more than 21, I would definitely take Iowa. It's, you know, it could easily be like,
you're just the big spread guy. You just love big spreads.
This
to cover.
Week, I'm just doing it. I'm just.
And like, I think the next game we're both going to be doing it again. But you know,
we're going to have to. Yeah. All right. Hold on. We got a Alan in St. Louis has a super chat. So we have to stop everything because of that. Year after year, these guys use logic and reason to make their picks against the spread. Chat, when will they learn? Dude, 7-1 last week. Okay. I am, what am I overall? 35-22. First year covering the Big Ten.
See, you can
I don't know half these teams.
Yeah, I'll just
more than half
edit to everyone out there. You can really see the USC grad when he starts getting a little arrogant about his picks. You can really see it.
Like, can you see it?
Yeah, you're like, oh, nice guy, but then you see it, don't you? Right? Can't stop talking about it. Can't stop talking about the 7-1.
They're bringing it up.
He didn't bring up anything about 7-1.
No, but he said they're using logic. Why did they learn? Mm-hmm. Well, whatever I'm using is working pretty good. Mm-hmm. Maybe Dave's using logic, and I'm just using feel.
You see it, don't you?
You see it.
You see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's and right, the OCD.
Dave. Yeah.
Is it
OCD and USC?
I got a little OCD in me. Okay. Let's go to, could be a fun one.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
They're going like right on the banks of the lake here. Playing.
Northwestern Wildcats.
12:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Relegated once again to the Big Ten Network. Too many people are not seeing your Indiana Hoosiers. Mm. Finally ranked Indiana. They're not leaving the rankings again this year. Number 23. Traveling to Northwestern. Northwestern is a 14-point home dog. I'm taking Indiana, of course, because Indiana is coached by the killer Cignetti, and he is going to continue to murder teams. Northwestern's not good. They're, in fact, very bad. I think decent chance for a shutout for Indiana, I'd say. You know, reasonable.
It could be.
Reasonable chance. And I think they'll score enough. I mean, Northwestern's defense is fine. But yeah, give me like 24-3. I don't know. Something like that. Indiana's going to roll again. And no, not even 24. 31-3. Indiana. Blowout on the road. Yeah, the Hoosiers are for real. I've never been more proud as, again, a lifelong Indiana fan.
Yeah, I like this. Indiana squad as well. What, 5-0? I think 4-1 against the spread on the season for Indiana. So pretty good. I don't know what Northwestern is. They are 1-3 against the spread.
I know what they are. They're ass.
Yeah, they're 1-3 against the spread. I feel like this is a, you know, some places have it at 13.5, but I feel like up to like 17 or so, I would be taking Indiana in this one. They're winning. They're covering spreads. They're just beating, especially teams that aren't as good as them. I think they're going to do the same thing to Northwestern. Then come all the way to the Rose Bowl and put up a crap ton of points and don't let UCLA do much. Like, what are they going to do on the banks of the Chicago River or wherever the hell that stadium is? So, yeah, give me Indiana.
Lake Michigan?
Lake Michigan, I think it's where they're doing it. Mm-hmm. Matthew says Indiana will destroy Northwestern. Yeah, we kind of agree on that one. Do I feel great about laying double digit spreads in each and every freaking pick? No. At least this next one isn't going to be. The next three are not double digit spreads.
No, the good games are reserved for the evening.
Yeah. So at least the closer kind of game. So. This might be sneaky good. We have... Oh, sorry. Let me put this up here.
Rutgers. Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
Going to...
Nebraska Corn Huskers.
I'm peeling corn.
The Scarlet Knights one is my favorite drop. 1 p.m. on FS1. Rutgers traveling to Nebraska. Nebraska is a 7-point home favorite. Again, lost in last week is that Nebraska spent a very long time playing with Purdue, very with them. Rutgers, on the other hand, has been interesting. They should have lost by a lot to Washington at home last week. They didn't, but they should have. This is one where it's like, well, Rutgers finds a way to win. They find a way to win games. So how much do you value that? Or do you think that's just statistical noise? Like, do you think that's there's actual value in that? Because there might be. I mean, it might be just they've got a really good coach who's good at managing games.
Yeah, winning is a skill.
Winning is a skill to a certain extent, but it's also like you can get lucky over a small sample size. So
Matthew says Rutgers has the lowest net point per drive of all undefeated teams.
Exactly my point. Statistically, they should not be this good.
Yes.
Like they shouldn't be 4-0 right now.
But we thought they'd be better, and they're better.
They're better, but I wonder if there's a little bit of kind of coming back to down to earth going to be showing up here soon. Nebraska lost to a good-ish, I would say good Illinois team at home, but otherwise has more or less taken care of business, even against Purdue. They finished strong, even if they didn't start strong. Maybe it was a little bit of the hangover from Illinois, where they were just kind of not firing on all cylinders. And in the first three games, we thought they looked damn good. So I'm going to kind of go back to where we were at the beginning of the season, maybe even preseason with Nebraska. Say they're, I would say, clearly better than Rutgers. So I'm going to take Nebraska to cover the 7 at home.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you on this one. Little smoke and mirrors with what's going on with Rutgers right now. But like we said, winning is a skill. It's not easy. You know, you have to put yourself in this good position. You know, Washington missing 3 field goals. Like, I mean, I'm not giving that, you know, props to Rutgers for that. But you're just doing enough to kind of put pressure on the opposition that they might screw up a kick or they might, you know, turn over the ball, whatever it is. It's a lot. I think 7 points is a lot. Like, I could see this sort of going back and forth and having it being like a close game that maybe Nebraska wins but doesn't cover the 7. But Nebraska loses the close game, so I feel like this is one where maybe they make it like a double-digit game and they end up covering this one. So I'd rather just say if I think Nebraska is going to win, it's probably going to be by double digits. I think Nebraska is going to win, so I will take them -7 on this one.
That's a great piece of logic. Any game that you think Nebraska will win, you should have them covering at least 7 points because they cannot win a game that's less than that.
But I think they're going to win. So I think they're going to.
Yeah, obviously.
This is what you pay for. Okay, I'm all favorites. So I have to decide if I'm just going to do the whole damn thing, all favorites, which I think I'm just going to do, even though this one might be different. Okay, the rematch of the national championship game. We have
Michigan Wolverines.
Scratch.
And they're on the road. Take it on.
Washington Huskies.
All right, 4:30 p.m. on NBC. Number 10, Michigan traveling to Washington. Despite Michigan being the ranked team here, Washington is a home favorite by 2.5 points. Now, here is my problem. Every fiber of my being says pick Washington. They're a better team. Everything about them is better. They're more balanced on both sides of the ball. But here's the problem. What happened to Jed Fish this past weekend?
Piano.
Head. To the head. Repeatedly. Like, has he removed it yet? Does he have, like, are piano keys his teeth right now?
Yeah.
That's what you don't know. You can't know that information. Michigan's defense, clearly not as good as it was last year. Still good, clearly not as good as it was last year. Offense, clearly one-dimensional. They should not be ranked 10th in the country right now. It's crazy. It's mostly the fault of your USC Trojans. I'm going to take Washington. I don't feel good about it because Jed Fish is one of the dumbest humans who's ever lived, but he can recruit. He's put together a good team from the transfer portal. Jonah Coleman is a good running back. Hey, Jed, Jonah Coleman's a good running back. Run him with the ball in his hands. You moron. Give me Washington.
I'm going to agree with you here. So that's I'm going to take all favorites this week. Dustin, you two have taken 0 underdogs in college football. No, David's taken a couple underdogs. I've literally just picked favorites the whole time. I never do this. I like taking points a lot of times. For whatever reason, it's just working out this way this week. So maybe I'm going to be completely wrong. We will see. But yeah. I think Michigan's – they played 5 straight home games. Their first road trip is all the way to Seattle, different time zones. Alex Orgy,
one of the best home crowds.
Very good home crowd.
They'll see what a real crowd is like. Michigan, after dealing with only Big Ten stuff, they'll see what a Pac-12 crowd looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched a lot of the – I mean, they just sort of go away for a while. And, you know, maybe they can just run all over Washington. I don't think so. But without a dynamic passing game, I think it's going to be really tough to come all that way and only run the football. When Orgy's thrown the ball, there was a couple that were okay, and then there was just some like really bad ones. He's got to get better at that, but I don't like it. I think my instincts are all to take Michigan, but I'm just going to like do the continuity of picking all favorites and then see how poorly that turns out. It could be very poorly. I don't know. We'll see.
I have come fully around on Jonah Coleman, though.
He's really good.
After Jason Shear said, or somebody said it during a game, like, oh, something about Maurice Jones-Drew, I like poo-pooed it. And then having watched him in like basically every game since that, he's like the closest thing to Maurice Jones-Drew since Maurice Jones-Drew. Like just that compact, fast as hell, and can't be brought down very easily. Like just tiny and powerful. I love tiny and powerful.
Yeah, you do like that.
That's right.
All right. Well, we'll see how that went. I mean, it should be a fun one to watch the later game there. And then the last one we have...
USC Trojans
going to
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
4:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Number 11 USC going to Minnesota. Minnesota's an 8-point home dog. Minnesota got by turns like kind of lucky, but then unlucky against Michigan. Post-game win expectancy had that as basically a 50-50 game. They lost by three. They should have lost by half a point, according to Bill Connolly's numbers. The previous week against Iowa was a blowout in favor of the Hawkeyes. 17 points is a blowout in Iowa metrics. And then the previous two games, they shut out Rhode Island and Nevada. And then they probably should have beaten North Carolina.
Yeah.
Here's the way to conceptualize Minnesota. Their defense is quite good. I would say quite good at this point. Like they're not.
It's like a top five pass defense.
Yeah.
But they've played Iowa and Michigan.
True. They also played North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more Drake May. North Carolina lost to James Madison.
Minnesota's offense has had moments, I'll say. Maybe a couple more moments than they had last season at this point. Maybe some of it's due to Max Brosmer not being a human turnover machine like Ethan Kalikmanis last year.
Who's playing better this year?
USC is an 8-point favorite, though. So we got to look more at USC. What have they done to justify being an 8-point favorite? They played around with Wisconsin for a long time in that game before pouring it on at the end. And that score is a little deceptive because of the pick six at the end. They lost to Michigan, and yes, you could say, oh, but their second half was better, but their first half kind of stunk.
Very stunky.
Struggled with that tough defense. And before that, you know, comfortably, beat LSU, by 7, again, a team that, didn't look good against UCLA, and they beat the hell out of Utah State. I'm taking Minnesota as my point.
All right.
They've got a tough defense. I think USC will win. But I think it could be I don't know if USC will win. I think it's going to be a narrow game. I think it's going to be very narrow. I think it'll be a 3-point game.
It very well could be. I'm going to do the clean sweep and just take all favorites. USC has covered all the games except the Michigan one. The defense travels. Michigan's offense is not super dynamic. I feel like this is a situation where when this defense has been hurt, they've given up some big plays. They even gave up a couple to Wisconsin, but they're only two plays that went more than 20 yards. They were early in the game, but then they kind of shut things down afterwards. I think the defense is going to travel. Danton Lynn, who you might have heard of before, I think he's done a really good job with this. They're getting some guys back. Achille Arnold was out for the last game. They might be out Eric Gentry, which could be big. And I like the offense. Minnesota's offensive line, 15 penalties through the first five games.
Did you say you like USC's offense this year?
No, I've
Or were you talking about Minnesota's offense?
No, I was. I don't know.
You said I like the offense.
I like USC's defense. I'll go into the offense in a second. But Minnesota, they're a team that shoots themselves in the foot a lot, and they have done that. The two crappy teams they've played, they shut them out. The three Power Four teams, they've lost all of those games. I feel like USC can go in there and do well. Minnesota's made a bunch of special teams mistakes. Miller Moss, now Minnesota's, I think, intercepted like 8 passes. He might throw a pick or something in this one. But I feel like they can get out there, run the ball a little bit, get the ball to the wide receivers. The defense sort of shuts things down. Maybe close, like 7-point game at halftime, and then USC wins by like 21 or something. So I like USC to kind of pull away late in this one.
USC's got to be the lowest success rate offensively of the Lincoln Riley era. They're at 30th nationally.
Yeah, that's not ideal. The offensive line has been a problem. They got better against Wisconsin. I don't think Minnesota's defense is that great because they've played like FCS team kind of things and then crappy offenses. Like Iowa is not a dynamic throw of the football. Like they've never seen a quarterback like Miller Moss. Like nothing on their schedule has been like that. And I don't think he's not the most dynamic guy in the world, but are they going to be able to cover the wide receivers USC has? I just don't think so. Like you played a team that doesn't throw the ball and like, okay.
So the team that beat Minnesota most comfortably this year was Iowa.
Yeah.
Because they've got an elite.
They just ran the ball in the second half.
And they've got an elite defense.
Yeah.
Right? Does USC have an elite defense?
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's like top 25, I think, right now, or top 30 or something.
Like in what metric?
I don't know.
Yeah, probably not. All right.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Okay.
It's fine. You're fine.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Minnesota's covering.
Okay. Well, so we disagree like 3 of them?
Yeah. This is the beginning of the grand comeback for me.
Yeah.
Or.
We're just digging
an ever deeper hole.
Because you were kind of behind last week, and then we picked 3 games differently, and I got them all right.
Yeah.
So that's bad. Alan St. Louis. Dave, what are USC's Bill Connolly rankings? Do you know? Do you have that up there?
I will pull it up for you in just a moment.
Yeah, I'm curious. I don't know what some of the stuff is.
They are 8th on offense and 61st on defense.
Oh, so 61st is not that good.
No. No, that was my
point. But they shouldn't be 8th on offense, though.
No, some of that is early season carryover. But in success rate, which is a decent proxy for defensive quality, they're 55th so far.
Okay.
And success rate allowed. So not they're clearly much improved, but they're not a top 25 unit.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, that's our picks for the week. Again, we're doing this on Wednesday. I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm traveling tomorrow, going to the Minnesota game a day early because there's kind of a little mini reunion for me. Some friends we're going to all meet out over there. So it should be a lot of fun. All right. Why don't we just take a quick break?
Let's take the quickest of all possible breaks.
Okay. Back in a minute, everyone. Alrighty, we're back here on the podcast of champions. We got an awesome voicemail. Should we play it?
Please.
You want to play it? Here we go. Yeah. This is kind of long. Sorry.
Hello, Ryan. Hello, Sith Lord Dave. Well, well, well. Welcome back to the Diaspora ACC correspondent, the resident Stanford fan here. Kind of a big week in the Bay Area for the former Pac-12 schools. Cal and the Calgarism hosting Miami and ESPN College Game Day. What's the over-under on political signs that get drug off the set? What's the over-under on outrageous political theater, either during the game or during the broadcast? I'm setting it at 3. And as far as the game goes, the Fighting Wilcoxes of California, who can put together a defense, are going to be playing the Fighting Crystal Balls of Miami, who really should have lost to Virginia Tech last week. I believe that this trip is simply too far, playing in Memorial Stadium, simply too weird, And I think the Mendoza line gets breached in this one. I'm going to go with Cal. Give me the points in Cal. And across the bay, my beloved Stanford Cardinal, yes, they got waxed last week. However, it was a weird game. This shit is bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit, bananas. It was a weird game. Stanford had two flights canceled, did not get into South Carolina until the middle of the night of the day of the game. They were supposed to be there 2 days earlier than that. And marched five times into the red zone, scoring twice. Three interceptions by Ashton Daniels. Fumbled on a fourth and one by the backup quarterback as the Wildcat and lost the fumble. Stanford rushed for over 250 yards. That's right. 5 yards per carry, 250 yards, including 125 by ACC Freshman of the Week, Michael Ford. And they only gave up 150 yards to Clemson. You read that right. Stanford won the line of scrimmage and lost this game badly. This is not your father's David Shaw bad Stanford team. They are making progress. They are young. They execution in some areas is still growing, but Troy Taylor has the team playing well. Having said that, Ashton Daniels got hurt at the end of the game. Elijah Brown, freshman phenom, also injured in practice 2 weeks ago. I'm take Virginia Tech. Lay the points and take Virginia Tech. If it doesn't happen, that would be awesome. Gentlemen, it is an honor and a pleasure to work with you. I will be receiving my $17 Trader Joe's gift card at the P.O. box of my choice. Keep it mediocre, fellas.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
That was a sincere recap of how things are going for Cal and Stanford.
Yeah, we need that on the podcast.
From the Zodiac Killer.
Did you see the email from it's like a Bay Area FBI director or something? And something about like making sure we get the address of and send him a $17 gift card.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah. So I don't think we can send you one to a P.O. box. We need your address if that's okay. And I will send you one for sure.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yes. We might send some other things too. Some people.
Yes.
In uniforms.
Good stuff.
Good stuff from the Zodiac Killer. All right. Next up we have, what are we on?
Is it the text message?
Yes. All right. This is from, nobody says. Wait, no. No. Okay. Not that one. This one. From Oxnard Steve. Sorry I'm late, guys. I meant to start this text yesterday, which was indeed International Podcast Day. But just like the USC Trojans against Michigan, against Wisconsin, I got off to a slow start and sleptwalked. Is that a word? Is it two words? Who cares?
Yeah.
Anyway, kudos to the new and maybe not so improved podcast of champions. Thank you, Oxnard Steve. So what you'll be looking for there is sleepwalked. You only need to past tense one of the things in there. You don't need to make them both.
Both. Okay. That other text message is from Kevin in the IE. He says, quick question for Dave. You always say football coaches are overpaid. Jim, did we do this one?
We did this one. That's why I didn't read it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We did that. Well, sorry about that one. I thought you didn't read it because it didn't have a name, but if you go back in the text thread, his name was there. So I'm just doing that. But we do have Dylan in Maine who sent a text message in, and he says, hi guys, for this week's matchup between Michigan and Washington, your game preview should focus on the battle of the quarterbacks. However, it makes the most sense to not discuss Will Rogers, but rather Washington's quarterback from last season, if you remember who that is, versus the current Michigan quarterback. This will give the POC listeners the best insight into the matchup and make sure to repeat the names of the quarterbacks as many times as possible so we don't forget who you are discussing. Again, nothing else really matters in this game. It's all about the quarterbacks and how many times you can compare, contrast them in the same sentence. Dylan in Maine.
So he wants us to discuss how Penix is going to perform vis-a-vis Orgy.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, so,
like, will it be hard for Penix to perform against Orgy?
Yeah. With an Orgy present in Seattle, yes. What will Penix do? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great question. I think you're still going to see him just kind of squirting it out all over the field and maybe even more because I think, you know, having something like Orgy on the other side, maybe that'll lead to an uptick in his performance.
Mm.
It's a big question. Big question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would be very exciting if we could see the Penix Orgy on display on Saturday.
Love it.
Alas. Whew. All right. This is from Paul Webfoot. UCLA versus FSU. Hello, champions. I'll keep it brief. In your opinions, who is having a worse year, UCLA fans or Florida State fans? UCLA might finish with more losses, but Florida State had the bigger drop. With love, Paul Webfoot.
I'll give you my thoughts. I mean, it's Florida State. Like, literally undefeated season gets left out of the playoffs, and the whole everything just falls apart. Like, you were thinking about winning a national championship. You get left out of the dance, and then it just has been a disaster. Your biggest moment is beating Cal. Like, horrible, horrible drop-off.
Can I put it in different terms that maybe will make everyone understand my point? Last year, Florida State had a very, very, very good season. It was an elite season. It was a fantastic season.
Yes.
It brought a lot of joy to Florida State fans. This year, they're having a very shitty season. It's bringing a lot of sadness to Florida State fans. UCLA did not have a very good season last year,
yeah,
and then didn't get the joy of firing their shitty head coach, but instead watched him devalue the job and make an embarrassment out of everyone involved for 3 months after the season. And then they hired a position coach as their new head coach. And now they're having what's trending towards the most abysmal season in UCLA history. So the answer is obviously UCLA. Now, here's where people get a little bit wonky, because they're like, oh, well, Florida State fans have expectations. So do UCLA fans. Like, the ones who still exist, they're crazy. They're fully insane, fully and floridly. Like, it's they're seeing sounds, they're hearing colors, but they have expectations. And it's so far below that. Because Florida State, what are they going to do if they go 2-10 this year? What are they going to do? They're going to fire the shit out of Mike Norvell. If they go 4-8, they might fire the shit out of a guy who was undefeated last year. They might do it because they're crazy in a different way. UCLA just hung on to a coach that nobody wanted from November to February, who was actively searching for other jobs because they might save a couple hundred thousand dollars in the long run.
Yeah.
These are not the same things. And if you are still a UCLA fan, like, the problem is not what it is, it's what can you do about it? What is the hope? What is the dream? Florida State fans know that if this is bad enough, they're just going to fire the shit out of Mike Norvell.
Yeah.
UCLA fans don't know that. They don't know that they're going to fire Deshaun Foster. And frankly, do they even want that? Because then the same guy who just hired Deshaun Foster will be hiring the new guy. So it's a much worse situation for UCLA.
The chat disagrees with you, but
only cares about front runners.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if Florida State just extended Norvell. Florida State is the crazy ass program that was looking at private equity solutions.
Yes.
They will find the money.
I heard they might have sued their conference.
Yeah. They will buy out a $60 million contract. They don't care.
Yeah. Their fall from grace, though, is pretty insane. Question from Destiny. Week 6 data question. Are the former Pac-12 teams losing more players to serious injury in the, quote, more physical Big Ten? USC's been pretty healthy. I think Washington might have had some injuries. I think Oregon's been – I don't know for sure. But
UCLA's had a lot more injuries, but I don't know how much of that is changes in their strength program.
Okay. USC's actually been pretty healthy.
Yeah.
They haven't, like – they got some guys back this week. He also wants to know, did Dave deposit the State Farm rebate check yet?
No. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, why not?
It's still on my desk.
You can do it with your phone.
I know. I haven't even opened the envelope.
It could be like a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, I know what it is. It's like 200 some odd bucks.
Okay.
I mean, that's a decent amount of money that I shouldn't just let lie fallow on my desk, but I am. That's what I'm doing.
Mark has a thought here. I want to get your thoughts on this. Oh, wait. So the wrong one pulled up there. Let me pull up his. UCLA has the money and is banking it like Vandy or Northwestern.
False.
Yeah, they I think they...
So, okay.
Calamone exists.
I've explained this a few times on the show, but you may have... I think you are a... I think he's a Big Ten, a new Big Ten listener. UCLA budgets things differently from other schools. They don't treat their athletic department as something they need to fund. They treat their athletic department as something that should be self-funding. So student fees, they don't go to athletics ever. Athletics has to self-fund. And so there hasn't been a strong enough athletic director recently to fight back against that and convince the chancellor, who for the longest time was Gene Block, who sucked and hated athletics. And so there's just been this fake debt that's associated with UCLA that other schools don't have. Even other schools that experienced the same shit during COVID that UCLA did, they're not experiencing the fake debt that UCLA accumulated because their schools treat it differently. But UCLA owes money to Central Campus at UCLA in the amount of like $100-some-odd million. That's the athletic department owing Central Campus. These are not two different entities. They are the same entity. In fact, they're the same entity as the University of California, which is, multi-billion dollar industry. So it's just a matter of accounting, but that accounting hasn't happened yet where that debt is wiped out. And until that debt is wiped out, UCLA is going to be continuing to run like a mom and pop operation.
Gotcha. Les says, does UCLA care about football?
Depends on who you think UCLA is. The fans care.
Yes.
I don't know if the administration cares. And until that changes, it's going to be hard for the product on the field to change too much.
Cool. All right. Well, that was good stuff. We had a bunch of people in the chat.
We've got another big-ass long question.
Where?
This one from Dave.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Sorry, I didn't see that one.
Fish coaching, academically prowessed or piano-headed? Also, UW plays Iowa at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Hi, Easy Rider and Doc. Now that I've had some time to process Washington's loss, could this all be part of Jed Fish's master plan? Rutgers doesn't play Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, or Indiana. Meanwhile, Washington will face 6-ranked opponents and UCLA. Could losing to Rutgers be a masterstroke to ensure Washington rematches Rutgers in the Big Ten championship game, effectively avoiding Ohio State and maximizing UW's odds of securing a first-round playoff bye? Do you expect any other coaches to employ such a brilliant strategy? Am I onto something with Jed's genius here, or is David Woods right about Coach Fish's piano issue? If David's right, fans arriving in Iowa City will be thinking about how it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. The fans are all shuffling in. Oh, sorry. If David's right, fans arriving in Iowa City will be thinking about how it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Ah, yes.
The fans are all shuffling in. Jed Fish is there on the sideline, wishing he had some Rainier brand gin. He says, fans, can I share you a vision? I'm not really sure how we lost, but we're tough and we're mighty, and I'd know we'd compete if I used the dog father's mind. Oh, rah, 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 go dogs. Rah, rah, Buddha coach is dumb. Win us a game, you're the piano coach. Win us a game tonight. Well, we're all in the mood to cheer, bow down to Washington, but you've got us losing all night. Do I have to keep singing?
Hold on. Very good.
Wow, I think this is actually all in tune. I think I have to sing the rest of it.
You have to keep singing? Oh, yeah. God.
Now the kicker's out there just lining it up, but Jed's screaming, how did you miss? The poor kid is shaking, just trying his best, but Jed's got him under such stress. I don't even know where we are in the song now. Anyway, the red zone's a mess, can't find the end zone. The playbook's a scattered disgrace. It's first and it's go, but it will settle for three as Jed's piano falls right in his face. Oh, rah, 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 go dogs. Rah, rah, Buddha coach is dumb. Win us a game, you're the piano coach. Win us a game tonight. Well, we're all in the mood to cheer, bow down to Washington, but you've got us losing all night. Our line's harder to pass than the Dardanelles, though Rutgers handed us loss number 2. The game clock's ticking, no timeouts remaining. What's a poor coach supposed to do? He benched Jonah Coleman, played Colin Dinky outs. I don't even know where I am on the tune.
Yeah.
Wishing he didn't see so many flags, but the pianos keep coming and players keep jumping, and we're losing another close game. Oh, rah, 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 so on and so forth. But you've got us losing all night. Piano coach.
Very. That's another one. Let me give you some more applause on that.
Yeah.
Very good. People in chat, like, what's happening?
What is indeed happening?
Yeah. We got an email, and
You always get very lucky that I get certain emails and you don't.
I didn't even see that one.
Yeah.
And that was good that you – I wouldn't have been singing. You picked it up pretty quickly, though, that there was the – to the piano man.
Yeah.
Because the joke is that, you know
– he is the piano
man. If you don't
man.
Know, like, yes. When a coach makes it – when the coach – it's like fourth and one and you're down five at the opponent's 30, they kick a field goal instead of going for it. Dave says a piano must have fell on the coach's head because that's just a horrible decision. You are just an idiot. So Jed Fish has probably had more pianos fall on his head than anyone we've talked about. And so this email comes along to the tune
should
of the Piano
we,
Man.
Should we get some shirts going? Because I think we could do one for Jed Fish, the piano man, where it's literally a piano embedded in his head with piano keys as his teeth.
It could be good.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah.
And then Signetti the
just
killer.
The Sig killer.
Yeah.
We could do something.
Should we do some?
Maybe it's more generic piano on the head. Like when your coach makes a bad decision, the piano's
yeah,
on
but
head.
I think if we get it in Washington colors, I think, you know, the true aficionado might be in for that.
Yeah, there's probably like four people that would buy that.
Yeah, I think four, maybe five.
Yeah.
Come on.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well done on that read sing along.
I lost the tune. If I'd realized the three paragraphs were all of it, I probably could have done it.
I thought it was gonna be
one
paragraph.
I lost the tune a couple of times.
I was looking down and you were doing the chorus or whatever. I'm like, oh, so he's on the second one. I'm like, oh, crap, he's still on the
yeah.
first one.
Yeah.
It took a while. Whew. Okay. Bring it back to Zen. do you want to – anything else?
I have nothing else.
Red Wine says he had to be a big shot.
He had to be a big shot, didn't ya? Yeah. I've got the whole – so the Billy Joel catalog, I've got them all. Like all of them.
I do love some
I
Billy
had
Joel.
The greatest hits, the double album – and okay. then volume 3, 2, which was like a separate disc.
Oh.
I had all those.
So you listened to them all?
I listened to them all. And like that was like definitely like the soundtrack of childhood in a lot of ways, like road trips, that sort of stuff. I've got them all. All of them.
Destiny.
You may be right. Dave may be crazy.
Very
but
good.
It just may be a lunatic you're looking for.
I like that. I think that could be our screenshot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that one. Okay. Well, that'll wrap it up. Friday night game. Boom. You guys have some fun with Big Ten games this weekend. A lot of big spreads. Will I be right? Will we get big covers?
You may be right.
Maybe. Or it could be crazy. We will see. Man, what if I just go over my hubris of 7-1 and I go 1-7 this week? How bad would that be?
Yeah. No, Good Night Saigon is impossible to sing, though.
Yeah, that's – come on, dude. Like, that's a
oh. And we would all go down together.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, though.
But you got to do like the like, remember.
Yeah, that's Johnny. Like, oh, my God. That's yeah. so, that's like you have to be a professional singer to yeah. do that. Alan in St. Louis, guys, wait a second. If we considered that Kirk Signetti is the Zodiac Killer, we could do that. That could be a shirt.
A Zodiac Killer shirt would be good.
Yeah.
And he's just a Stanford grad. He's just like a guy in a Stanford shirt.
Yeah. Kind of dorky looking.
All right. We got to get some merch for the four people who will buy it.
Merch it up. Okay. We're going to wrap it up. That is David Woods. I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.